This is the long session during which a two-year budget is always passed, and a budget bill is moving through the legislature, right?
That's right. The House made their changes in committee earlier this week and wasted no time at all passing four, if you can consider the tax amnesty bill. But all four of those bills passed them off the House floor with actually not a lot of criticism or a lot of rejection of that at all. I mean, in past years, you usually have some people who get up and, you know, yell about the budget and funding this or not funding that or a lot about debt. And you didn't have a whole lot of that. I mean, you had a few. Representative Jim Wayne, obviously, is upset with the budget. But it now goes to the Senate, and I talked with the Senate Budget Chairman Bob Lieber this morning, and he says that the Senate's probably going to take a little bit of time to go over the budget, look at the House proposals, look at the what the governor originally proposed. They're even going to look at the budget that they passed 2 years ago to see how things match up, and they're going to take their time and probably make a few more changes. It's all but certain they're going to change some things. Just what those things are, we don't know yet.
And this inevitably will come down to what they call a conference committee where the two opposing bills will be reconciled.
That's right. And in the past, the last couple of sessions, they've gone to that conference committee and they've thrown out different proposals, but it's really been a lot of staring at each other. House Speaker Greg Sabo kind of stares at David Williams. David Williams kind of stares back. And that's why we've had special sessions. But the feeling is that we're not going to have a special session this time. There's a couple different things that could happen, but there's really not a lot of money to play with in the budget. I mean, the road fund will probably be a totally different story, but they usually work that out at the end of the day anyways. There's the feeling that no matter what the Senate changes, they'll be able to work through those changes, and we won't have a special session like we've had the last couple of budget sessions.
So maybe a little bit of staring down, but not enough to spur a special session.
Yeah, maybe like 30 seconds, someone yawns and says, hey, this proposal looks pretty good. Let's just sign our name.
Okay. Well, let's move on to something else. There's some contentious moments yesterday over a bill. It seems like this comes up every session that would require drug testing for welfare recipients. What happened there?
Yeah, that was kind of a little showdown between the House Republicans and House Democrats. Representative Lonnie Napier has this bill where he wants to have random drug testing of welfare recipients. It's that argument that a lot of people think that everybody on welfare is obviously using the money to buy drugs or some sort of that. And I don't think Napier necessarily thinks that, but there's a fraud argument that he's trying to make there. And House Democrats, well, at least a few of them, really are kind of repulsed by this argument. And it just so happens that all the ones that are repulsed by the argument happen to sit on the House Health and Welfare Committee, which this bill went through. Chairman Tom Burch has called Napier's bill unconstitutional. He's not a fan of it. And he didn't allow it to come for a vote this session, and just like he did in last session. And the Republicans have said that, you know, with 64 co-sponsors, clearly this bill can pass out of committee and can pass on the full House floor, and you're not giving it a fair hearing. So what they did is, knowing that two Democrats were going to be absent from that committee due to other arrangements, they boycotted, which means that any bill that Burch wanted to hear a vote on, he couldn't do it, including the welfare, drug testing and welfare bill. So they had they still had the committee, and Napier went up and presented his bill and got a lot of blowback from a lot of Louisville area representatives, Representative Marzi and Representative Owens, who basically said, you're being unfair and, you know, you're attacking the poor. Let's drug test those on Wall Street. And Owens even said, let's drug test lawmakers. And oddly enough, Napier said, I'm all for it. Let's just drug test whoever.
Moving on, there was a measure moving through that tried to eliminate or battle the so-called pill mills and the overprescription of painkillers and that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's right. House Speaker Greg Sabo has kind of made this his chief priority in addition to the U-Pike bill, which we've talked about many times and is being changed. But this bill basically would put the Casper pill tracking system from the Cabinet from Health and Family Services into the Attorney General's office. And Sabo says that's the key piece of the legislation, and he's calling it landmark legislation. One of these bills that you'll talk about in education, you talk about Senate Bill 1, because that basically redid the CATS testing system. And he equates this bill to the same type of, I guess, standing. And so the Attorney General, which is a law enforcement agency, would be in control of Casper. It would allow prosecutors and doctors and and to look at Casper reports, and basically it would try to cut off the head of these people who go from doctor to doctor and get these pain pills. They say, you know, doctor, my back hurts. The doctor writes a prescription thinking nothing is odd about it, and they do this to four or five doctors, and you have a prescription pill problem. And so the idea is that doctors would communicate more, law enforcement would communicate more. It passed out of the House yesterday. There's a similar bill with some changes in the Senate. Notably, the Senate does not have the provision that Casper must go into the Attorney General's office. But at the end of the day, the Senate bill is now on its floor. At the end of the day, Stumbo has said, one way or another, we're going to pass something comprehensive. He's really into putting Casper in the Attorney General's office, and it's my feeling that the end of the bill will probably have that if it passes both chambers, whatever this compromise is, and maybe some of the other stuff like reporting and who reports and how many days until they can act on a doctor that is legal prescribing. That stuff can change. But at the end of the day, there's a feeling that this will be the big bill of the session.
There was a big rally in Frankfurt yesterday, another issue that seems to come up every session, restoring voting rights for certain felons.
That's correct. There was a Kentuckians for the Commonwealth held a rally in the Rotunda for this. This is another proposal that the House seems to support, and it's a constitutional amendment to restore the voting rights for nonviolent felons, and that's the key. I mean, obviously, you don't want someone who's probably murdered four or five people to have full restoration of voting rights. At least that's what some people argue. But these are for people who get felonies that are nonviolent and who, in effect, have rehabbed their life and have served their time, is what the House members say. It's already passed out of the House like it does every year. It seems to be, once again, dead on arrival of the Senate. So the rally was basically to pull House Republicans who support the bill and other people who support the bill to show the Senate, hey, listen, this is not a straight Democrat versus Republican issue. We've got Republicans who support us. You know, these people have served their time. Please pass this so we can put it on the ballot. Whether that happens or not is probably doubtful. The Senate just really doesn't seem to have a stomach for the proposal.
Kenny Colston is the Capitol Bureau Chief for Kentucky Public Radio. Kenny, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.